We're driven by the search for better. But when it comes to hiring, the best way to search for a candidate isn't to search at all. Don't search, match with Indeed. Indeed is your matching and hiring platform with over 350 million global monthly visitors, according to Indeed data, and a matching engine that helps you find quality candidates fast. Ditch the busy work. Use Indeed for scheduling, screening, and messaging so you can connect with candidates faster. Leveraging over 140 million qualifications and preferences every day, Indeed's matching engine is constantly learning from your preferences. So the more you use Indeed, the better it gets. Join more than 3.5 million businesses worldwide that use Indeed to hire great talent fast. And listeners of this show will get a $75 sponsored job credit to get your jobs more visibility at Indeed.com/Blue Wire. Just go to Indeed.com/Blue Wire right now and support our show by saying that you heard about Indeed on this podcast. That's Indeed.com/Blue Wire. Terms and conditions apply. Need to hire? You need Indeed.
Hi, this is Luka Doncic.
Can he get it away in time on the step back? He does! He hits! He hits! And the Mavericks have won the game! Luka Doncic with a 30-footer to win it at the horn!
And you're listening to the Mavs Step Back Podcast.
All right, guys, welcome in to another episode of the Mavs Step Back Podcast. This is the most recent installment of Mavs Step Back Live. We have a lot of stuff to talk about today. The main two things that I want to focus on, because we've had so much dirt coverage, for good reason too, it's warranted, but you know, we've had so much dirt coverage on DallasBasketball.com and just on all media sites here in the last 24 to 48 hours. I do want to focus on the game itself from yesterday. The two main things I want to talk about today, Matt, are Luka and Jalen Brunson starting together and how it's working exactly how I envisioned. And it probably should have happened sooner, but, you know, sooner is at least it happened before, you know, we got to the end of the season and Jalen Brunson becomes an unrestricted free agent. I'm glad it's happening now and they're having success with it. And I want to talk about the Mavs' elite defense and whether or not it is good enough to be considered contender worthy. I think it is, and we'll get into the numbers and everything as we roll along here. But that's the two main things I want to focus on today. If anybody wants to chime in on it after we get started on those, just, you know, send a request. But we will start with one thing from Dirk Knight that, you know, has kind of been bothering us. Everything was perfect for the most part. You know, the banner looked clean. It was really nice. All the people talking, from Mark Cuban to all the guys in the video that they played for him, and, you know, had the 2011 championship team there, or a lot of them there. And then Dirk and his family looked so great, and it was just a great night. But the only thing that we're kind of hesitant on is that statue reveal. we're kind of hoping that was just kind of like a rushed, put together, you know, not finalized thing of the statue, because, you know, the statue itself, the pose of Dirk and everything, that looks fine. The thing that everybody or most people are kind of hoping doesn't make it to the real statue is how it has three balls at the top. It just seems like it's kind of forced and it's unnecessary. They need to cut it down to just one ball in Dirk's hands and it would look better. So, your thoughts on the statue reveal, Matt?
Okay, well, first of all, I don't think it was rushed or whatever. It just looks stupid. It was like an idea that Cuban had in the back of his head, like, what if we did three? And that way it looks like – it's like, no, it already looks like he's shooting the ball. Now it just looks like some sort of – I won't even go there.
I was about to say, I'm not going to say it on the podcast. I'll have to tell you afterwards. I'm sure people would like for me to say it, but I don't feel
– I know. We don't even have to discuss it. We both know what we're thinking. But
people in the chat can probably, yes, Christian, that's exactly what it looks like, and I'm not going to say that out loud.
So it just seems like sort of a a bad idea that sounded good in his head when he was helping to design the statue, and now it came out really badly. And I don't know that anyone really likes the three ball idea. It just kind of looks like, you know what it kind of looks like is like the model was sitting in its mold, and they took it out of the mold, and there was like two extra parts that weren't supposed to be there, and they just didn't have time to get them off before they like put the statue underneath the thing.
Like a 3D printer type
yeah.
thing.
Yeah, so it looks kind of dumb. Hopefully they, by the time they build the other one, they see the feedback and they're like, okay, you know, we can sort of move away from this idea. But I can't think of a single person that actually liked the way that the balls looked on the statue. And that also sounded weird what I just said.
Well, I mean, it obviously hasn't been built yet, so there's time to correct that one issue with it. But like I said, overall, you know, just like the pose of Dirk doing the one-legged fade and all that, that's fine. I mean, I thought that looked really cool. And if they just fix that one issue, then, you know, they'll be off and running and everything will be great. So hopefully they look at the feedback from last night, not just from Mavs fans, but just the overall NBA landscape on social media, and they adjust accordingly. But everything was great last night. It's so nice to celebrate a legend, a guy who, you know, he's meant so much to me, not just growing up and my childhood, but, you know, like I mentioned on our watch party last night, it flowed over into adulthood for me too. And so Dirk has been around my entire life. He means a ton to me. I miss him on the court, but any chance I get, you know, to celebrate him even after he's retired is just, it's blissful almost. It makes me feel happy. And you know, it makes everybody else in the Mavs nation feel happy too. So I'm happy for it. I'm glad it happened. And, now we're going to move on into some actual basketball stuff, because, you know, at some point last night, you know, the Mavericks apparently defeated the Warriors 99-82.
Oh, I didn't see that.
Yeah, that apparently happened last night. You know, the best team in the league, they came in with a 29-7 record. You know, they have the best defense in the entire league, and their offense, I think they're fourth in offense too. So they're incredible. They are back, and they don't even have Klay Thompson back yet. So going into that game, we've mentioned it before. It's like everybody was just like, man, why did the Mavs schedule this for Dirk's jersey ceremony? Because there was potential for it to end up really, really bad. But kudos to the Mavs. They are playing incredible lately. The offense can still be kind of herky-jerky at times, but the defense is absolutely elite. I mean, I'm just looking at the recent schedule. Even going back to the first loss to the Kings, which shouldn't have happened. It was just a last second breakdown on a play, and it ended up in a buzzer beating loss, but held the Kings to 95 points. In the second game against the Kings, held them to 96 points. So they were very consistent there. They just scored more and won that one. Then they held Oklahoma City to 86, which, you know, kind of expected because they didn't have SGA. And then the game against Denver held them to 89 points, which was really impressive, even though they're shorthanded. And then so after those three straight wins and the loss to the Kings, it's like, okay, well, they're playing good defense. Let's see how they do against a juggernaut offensive team, Steph Curry. And then they hold the Warriors to 82 points, and they average 111 points per game on the year. It was a season low for the Warriors. They were hounding Steph Curry all night long, held him to 14 points on the night, which I feel like is the worst outing Steph Curry has ever had against the Mavericks, it feels like. So that was incredible to see. The defense is just amazing. And sure enough, like I see somebody put in the chat a little bit earlier there, you know, Dorian Finney-Smith, he had himself a heck of a night. He only shot 6 of 15 from the field, but he hit 4 of his 7 threes. Every one of his threes felt absolutely huge. He scored 17 points, had 9 rebounds, and 2 blocks in 37 minutes as a starter. So the trend continues. When Dorian Finney-Smith plays well, typically good things happen for the Mavs, and they end up winning the game. So all in all, great night. The defense is the first thing I want to focus on here, Matt. I mean, how impressed are you with what the Mavs have been able to do and kind of, you know, bringing to life Jason Kidd's preseason vision for this team?
Well, it's nice to see. I mean, I was a little skeptical about the defense before the Denver game because it was just Sacramento, Oklahoma City. But then you hold Denver to 89 and Golden State to 82, and those are two really good offensive teams. And last night was sort of the big test because it's Golden State. They're the best team in the NBA right now. They have Steph Curry. Yeah, they don't have Klay Thompson, but they're still an offensive juggernaut. And you come out and you do that. So it's nice to see. I mean, defense has been an issue in the past, and this isn't even the first good defensive run they've gone on either. I mean, they've been pretty good defensively all year. There was a stretch from, I think it was the second game against New Orleans until that Oklahoma City game where they were pretty good on the defensive end as well. They were very bad on the offensive end, but you saw they were not great on the offensive end. I shouldn't say very bad, but through that whole stretch, but you know, you saw then, I guess it was a Charlotte game actually that streak ended. But anyway, you saw through that whole thing where they had the potential to play this kind of defense, and now it's really starting to come to a head. And it's helped them crawl back, you know, into the standings. They had dropped below 500. They were, I believe, 16-18 heading into this stretch, and now they're coming out the other side, winners of 4 straight and 5 of their last 6. So they're starting to figure things out.
And I mean,
games they've been without KP, so that makes it even more impressive.
Right. And I mean, I've been pretty vocal about this, and I try to, you know, give a disclaimer before I say it because I'm not being disrespectful towards KP. I just, you know, the numbers indicate that whether KP plays or not, it doesn't necessarily affect whether the Mavs win or not, you know, especially if Luka is healthy and playing. So that's what kind of leads me to believe that he could eventually find himself in a trade later down the line. I don't know if it'll happen this year, you know, at the earliest, maybe in the off season or something. But, you know, it makes me – because he's had a good season. I mean, statistically, other than three-point shooting, you know, he's had a pretty good year. You know, he looks more active on defense, having the fully healthy offseason that everybody, you know, said something to me about every time I mentioned it. It seems to have helped, even though he has had to sit out a couple of games just for precautionary reasons. But, you know, overall, he looks a whole lot better than he did last season. And, you know, some of that is health-wise and some of that is scheme-wise because, you know, he's being utilized a little bit better than he was last season with Rick Carlisle. So, you know, it goes both ways there, but I just don't necessarily think that, you know, KP playing or not, it's almost like the defense plays even better, you know, with some of these other guys. So I don't know. I mean, if we get to the playoffs and KP's completely healthy and they play like they're playing now, I could see where it could be a good thing because he's still one of those guys who can get hot and, you know, potentially get you around, you know, 30 points a game. And there's not many players on the Mavs roster who you can say that about. So it's Luka, it's KP, and, you know, occasionally Jalen Brunson and Tim Hardaway Jr. once in a blue moon. So, I'm just really impressed by the defense, man. And it started before the recent success, like we were talking about. You know, they should have had wins, big wins over the Brooklyn Nets and the Los Angeles Lakers recently. They had held the Lakers under 100 points before that game went into overtime a week or so ago, and it should have never gone into overtime. It was a rebound miscue from, I believe, KP and Maxi Kleba. And, you know, they would have ended up winning that one, holding them under 100. And then, you know, they lost to the Brooklyn Nets when they had a 17-point lead at one point, and the final score still ended up being the Nets winning 102-99. So even in some of these losses, it's still been really impressive. And if they can just, you know, keep chipping away at getting guys back to their somewhat normal shooting numbers, they've really got something here, because everybody wanted to talk about, you know, their net rating, their point differential earlier in the season. Well, they're back in the positive now. They're a plus 1.5, which is the fifth best in the West, and they're the fifth seed. So it all lines up. And they've won four straight. They're healthy again, aside from KP being in protocols. They've added some really nice pieces on the edge due to this COVID stuff that, you know, you hate that the NBA is going through all this COVID stuff, but, you know, that's the silver lining. They've discovered some new blood, like Marquese Chris, who in the next, I'm going to say at least in the next week, he's probably going to be, you know, on the Mavs roster for the rest of the season. If he's not, then something has gone terribly wrong, and they don't need to let that happen. But I'm not going to harp on that. I got off on a tangent on the last time we did a green room on that. But
we're driven by the search for better. But when it comes to hiring, the best way to search for a candidate isn't to search at all. Don't search, match with Indeed. Indeed is your matching and hiring platform with over 350 million global monthly visitors, according to Indeed data, and a matching engine that helps you find quality candidates fast. Ditch the busy work. Use Indeed for scheduling, screening, and messaging so you can connect with candidates faster. Leveraging over 140 million qualifications and preferences every day, Indeed's matching engine is constantly learning from your preferences, so the more you use Indeed, the better it gets. Join more than 3.5 million businesses worldwide that use Indeed to hire great talent fast. And listeners of this show will get a $75 sponsored job credit to get your jobs more visibility at Indeed.com/BlueWire. Just go to Indeed.com/BlueWire right now and support our show by saying that you heard about Indeed on this podcast. That's Indeed.com/BlueWire. Terms and conditions apply. Need to hire? You need Indeed.
Craig is usually a fan of water cooler talk, but it's draft season, and that's all anyone wants to talk about. The Athletic has loads of articles about this year's draft, but Greg doesn't have The Athletic, so now he's filling up his water bottle in the bathroom sink, which, to remind you, is the sink people use after they use the bathroom. Get The Athletic and get the info you need to speak draft fluently.
I think the Mavs defense is real. I think this is championship level defense we're seeing from this team. Everybody on the same page. I saw somebody tweet about this earlier, but, you know, in the Rick Carlisle era, there was so much sagging off of guys. You know, KP, I have nightmares of when the Mavs played the Blazers and they would have KP sagging off like 10 feet from Dame and Dame just lighting up the Mavs. It was stuff like that all the time. But like now, every player is getting up into their opponent and everybody's switching. Everybody's has active hands. You know, everybody's just focused. Even Luka, you know, he's not the best defender, but, you know, even he's buying into it for the most part. So it's really encouraging to see. It's championship level stuff from them. If they can just somehow figure out the offensive issues, then, you know, anything can happen when you get to the postseason, because defense is what wins championships, and they have proven that they can defend pretty much anybody now. And it's very exciting for me. It's starting to make me feel about the Mavs in a way that I haven't felt in a very, very long time. And I'm already known as being pretty optimistic. So I can't wait to see where they go from here. It seems like all of this is just happening at the perfect time. It's a perfect storm kind of thing, you know. Just like last year when they went through their COVID thing, they went through it a little bit earlier, it seems like, this year. And now they're getting healthy at the right time, and they're putting things together at the right time too. And the rest of January, the schedule is not bad at all. It's actually, like, I wouldn't be shocked if the Mavs are challenging the Grizzlies for that fourth spot by the end of this month. That's how lenient this Mavs schedule is for the rest of the month. So, and the Warriors was by far, that was going to be their hardest game of this month, in my opinion. So I'm excited about it.
I mean, they've got Phoenix coming up too. Another matchup, Golden State. So there's a couple of tough ones in there, but for the most part, you're right. I mean, there's probably one game left on the schedule where I'll actually cheer against the Mavs, and that's against Chicago on the 9th. But you know the reasons for that.
Yeah,
but it's a very manageable schedule. You know that they've got a chance to really.
And I know the Mavs have had their struggles with the Phoenix Suns over recent years, but you know, the first two times they played them this season, both of those games were very, very close, and it just came down to execution at the very end of those games, and they didn't have Luka. That was where, you know, you started to see some big stuff from Jalen Brunson and the rest of the guys kind of coming together and putting together these nice efforts, even though they couldn't finish. And, you know, Jason Kidd, he just kept saying, it's going to turn. Just keep plugging and, you know, keep believing in what we're doing on defense and everything, and it's eventually going to turn. And it has. I mean, credit to him. I mean, he's done a great job this year despite all the criticisms he had preseason and, you know, throughout the first couple weeks of the season. He has done a good job with this team. The players are, you know, really buying into what he's selling. And it shows. It shows in their effort level. It shows how their advanced stats and their defense and everything, how it's progressed throughout this season. And I think the offense will come, but, you know, establishing a defensive presence like this early on is so vital to the success later on in the season and in the postseason. You know, doing this now and then, you know, hoping that the shooting numbers regress to the mean at some point, you know, once that actually happens, then they're really going to be cooking. And, you know, they're going to start piling up a lot more wins, in my opinion. So, I'm still going to say the Warriors was the toughest one. I know the Phoenix Suns, they've given the Mavs trouble, but I think that they'll end up playing them very well and might even come away with another huge win since Luka is back, assuming he doesn't miss any time with this next ankle injury that he suffered last night, which they say isn't going to be a big deal, but we'll see how it goes.
Yeah, it looked just like a tweak or something.
Yeah, but we're going to go into our last point here. I don't see any speaker requests. I don't know if that's an app issue, or I see a lot of people in the room, but I don't see an actual speaker request. So I see Kirk as soon as I say that. Sweet. Let me get Kirk up here. Kirk, buddy, how you doing?
Oh, what a treat.
I'm always happy to talk, and I'm made a huge mistake. I'm driving to the gym for some fucking reason. And
new year, new me.
Exactly.
But, well, I mean, so I just, you know, I got to do something to offset the eating and drinking.
Well, there you go.
Well, Kirk, I'm going to roll into what our next point was going to be, and you can chime in with your thoughts. But, you know, a few weeks ago, it may not have even been exactly 2 weeks ago, I put this piece out on DallasBasketball.com talking about how great Jalen Brunson had played in Luka's absence. And, you know, they went 5-5 when Luka was out. during that 10-game stretch. And I made the statement that they absolutely had to start him with Luka when Luka came back from his injury. And they've done that so far. They're 4-1 this season when both of those guys start together. I know there were concerns about the defense and everything, but having a real secondary distributor next to Luka in that starting lineup is a huge plus. And even if they aren't the best defensive backcourt out there, you have enough defenders on the roster now, and the team is playing so well collectively defensively that I don't think it matters. So I'm very pleased with how it's gone, and I think it's a big plus for not only the continued development of Brunson, who I still think he can get a little bit better than what he is now, but it also helps with his upcoming unrestricted free agency and, you know, potentially keeping him from having other thoughts about leaving, because I'm sure the Mavs will pay him, and if he's getting paid and he has the bigger role, then I think he'll be happy. But what's your thoughts on the Brunson?
I mean, as far as in-game stuff, I really enjoy it. I don't want to see Luka go to the corner ever again. Like, that stuff has to stop. Like, put Luka and Brunson in pick and rolls. Like, do some fun stuff there. But that's, you know, it's a quibble. I think that could fix some of their offensive issues. It's just a little too much my turn, your turn type stuff with them. I'm curious about the contract stuff, because last night was a really good example of Brunson's sort of limitations, because as good as he is, he still gets really bothered by anybody that has length. And so watching him struggle against a good Golden State defense, except for that absolutely incredible move near the left elbow. You know the one I'm talking about? A little shimmy shake. It was like a post move. Oh, God. It's just, it's sometimes things are a little tough for him, and it's because of his size. And so I think making him happy, and then also, you know, potentially just continuing to showcase him, serves both purposes. Because, you know, what happens? You get blown out of the water by an offer that you love. But if you don't get blown out of the water, then you're saying, okay, we're committing to you in this spot. And I think that's a value too.
Yeah, I agree. And I mean, look, I mentioned it. Our guy Grant Afseth tweeted this out earlier, but Luka and Jalen Brunson have started 5 games together this season. And the Mavs are 4-1 in those 5 games. In those 5 games, the averages for Luka are 23 points, 7 rebounds, 9 assists. The averages for Brunson are 19 points, 5 rebounds, 4 assists. I mean, they work really good together. You know, it's kind of like one of those things. It kind of makes me think about when they tried to make the Luka and Dennis Smith Jr. stuff work, and it just didn't work out because you know, Dennis wasn't really a secondary distributor, and he couldn't shoot as good as Jalen Brunson could. And it's just really cool to see how Brunson has developed from his first 3 seasons to now, because we kind of saw a little bit of the development coming on last year until he kind of fizzled in the playoffs, because that was a horrible matchup for him with the Clippers. But, you know, you saw a little bit of it last year, and then we were thinking, like, well, man, if he could just take one more step towards, you know, get a bump in his assist numbers this year to go along with his improved scoring, that would just be fantastic. And to his credit, that's exactly what he's done, and it's been great for the Mavs. And I think, you know, eventually you'll get to a point, even if it's not like in the first round or whenever, but I think you'll eventually get to the point in the postseason where he runs into another bad matchup and it could become an issue. But like you said, on all fronts, it's just – it's a good thing for the Mavs. It's good for Jalen Brunson. It's good for the Mavs on the court, off the court, with potential trade stuff, you name it, it's a good thing that this thing is working for the Mavs. And the defense, like I mentioned earlier and often, it just blows me away. I cannot believe a Dallas Mavericks team is playing this well defensively like they are now. So if guys like Reggie Bullock and Tim Hardaway Jr. and, you know, Sterling Brown, if they can keep regressing to their means and get a little bit more offense going, you know, the Mavs really might have something cooking here. So I'm really excited about it. But I mean, we're I guess since you're here, we already talked a bunch about the defense, but are you just as blown away as me?
I don't know what to do about it, and I don't know how to explain it, and I don't want to shit on it. Like, last night, the Warriors just missed some shots. And then they got, like Curry is in one of the worst three-game stretches of his career, and I am delighted that we got to take part in it. The big picture stuff, I'm still just kind of confused. I'm glad it's happening. I just, like, schematically, I've not seen a ton to really explain it. I've had a couple of people being like, oh, well, it's great coaching. I'm like, that's not what I'm asking. I'm asking for, like, the literal scheme differences in terms of what they're doing. I think they're being a little bit more aggressive, but not, like, wildly so. It's been fun to watch. It really helps because since their offense has been so creaky, the defense is really what's kind of kept them afloat, because I think that once it was clear they're dealing with all this COVID stuff, getting through it and playing 500 basketball, which is what they've done, was kind of the optimal outcome. And it's going to be interesting to see where they go from here, because the long-term data, and I'm talking with Porzingis and Luka, the long-term data with Porzingis and Luka is they cannot play defense when those two are on the floor at the same time. Like, we just have a lot of data about it. That's not to say that can't change. It's just, to date, they haven't been great. And I think the Mavs have kind of low-key benefited from the fact that they haven't played a lot of games together.
Yeah. I mean, that's one of the things where – and that's another thing I mentioned earlier, too, why I don't think, you know, whether KP plays or not, it doesn't really affect whether the Mavs win or not. And that's one of the main reasons for that. I mean, it's just as good as KP has been throughout this season at times, it doesn't really, you know, he's still not a perfect fit with Luka, no matter how good he's playing. So, Kirk, I appreciate you joining us. Matt, a couple of things I want to point out here, and we're going to take off. The Mavs, like I mentioned earlier, they now have the sixth best defensive rating in the league. And that's a major improvement from where they've been the last handful of seasons. In the last five games alone, they have the number one defensive rating, and as far as overall net rating, they're second, and the only team that's been better than them in the last five in net rating is the Philadelphia 76ers. So just all around, things are really going great for the Mavs. You had the nostalgic stuff with Dirk last night, and then they got the big win, and the overall numbers are looking better, and Luka's back, and the only thing they really don't have going for them right now is they don't know when they'll get KP back, and, you know, if the offense will ever start firing on all cylinders consistently. But they're winning regardless of the offensive struggles from time to time. They've won four straight. So anything else you want to add before we take off here?
No, I'm just looking forward to see if, you know, seeing if they can sustain it over the next, you know, handful of games here. It's certainly a nice turnaround. You know, it's kind of the thing that you sort of expected when they landed Josh Richardson last year, for them to have this kind of defensive impact, but that didn't really come into fruition. And now that they've got this new group together, it seems to be going really well. So hopefully it's something they can sustain. And I think.
Yeah, the vibes are immaculate, as Jalen Brunson likes to say. I mean, they say it a lot, but it really is. I mean, everything's immaculate right now, and hopefully they don't have like a adrenaline high hangover tomorrow when they take on the Houston Rockets in Houston. That should be a game that they win, because the Rockets have struggled so heavily lately. Hopefully they don't, you know, have a letdown in that game like what we've seen in previous years when the Mavs start to get things going and, you know, they'll get a couple of big wins in a row and then they end up losing to a team they probably shouldn't lose to. But again, I think the defense is legit, and, you know, I would not be shocked if tomorrow night's game ends up in a blowout. So we will see how it goes. And then on Sunday they take on the Chicago Bulls, and depending on how that outcome goes, I might be owing you some money. so we'll see how it turns out. But – all right, guys, I appreciate y'all joining us today. We'll be sure to do this again very soon. Shout out to everybody who joined Mav Step Back Premium and our watch party last night. That was the best one yet. We had a blast. Mike Bibbins and Reese from Mavs Outsiders podcast joined us. And, you know, we had a really, really fun time doing that. We'll have to have them on again. And eventually I'm going to get Kirk to join us on one of those. He's a very busy dude and hasn't been able to yet, but we're going to keep getting guys on there. So, guys, I appreciate it. Be sure to go like, rate, and subscribe on all your favorite platforms. And I hope you guys have a great rest of your week and a great weekend. We'll see you next time.
Whether you're a world-class athlete or a podcaster like me, we all understand the importance of mental and physical well-being and proper recovery for top-notch performance. That's why I'm excited that Unified Healing is sponsoring podcasts on the Blue Wire Network. Unified Healing is a new and super innovative global network of wellness centers powered by Energy Enhancement System, or EE System. If you haven't heard of the EE System yet, then you'll want to listen up. This technology promotes wellness, deep relaxation, purification, and rejuvenation. Wherever you are across the globe, access to a center is easy and affordable. Interested in experiencing the EE System technology for yourself? Go to unifiedhealing.com/bluewire to learn more and find a center near you. That's Unified, UNIFYD, healing.com/bluewire. No material or testimonials on the Unified Healing website are intended to be viewed as medical advice or a substitute for professional medical advice, diagnosis, or treatment. Always seek the advice of your physician or other qualified healthcare provider with any questions you may have regarding a medical condition or treatment and before undertaking a new healthcare regimen, including EE system.